Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Benvenuto, that's it, the one.
Christ.
Benvenuto, he runs that kebab shop, doesn't he?
He came second in the X Factor. Please don't be offended.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson and this episode is going to be an Italian special, isn't it, Helen?
Yes, Mamma Mia, Benvenuto.
Oh my God. Oh.
It's the Scummy Mummies podcast. What?
You sound like a dolphin in labour. What are you talking about?
I did it on Google Translate and it said, Scummy Mummies. Is that right, ladies?
Is that Italian for scummy mummies?
Yeah, obviously.
Don't humour her.
Don't encourage me.
Let's introduce you properly. Now, we've got Caterina.
Hello.
We've got Francesca.
Hi.
And we've got Laura.
Ciao.
So it's the first time we've ever had three people on the podcast and the first time we've ever had Italians. Are you feeling nervous to represent, you know, the whole of Italy right here, right now on Scummy Mummies?
Yeah, well, we feel we need to be very proud.
Yes.
It's the three tenors, but not as we knew it.
Oh, come on. Three tenor ladies.
That's right.
There we are. There's the joke. I knew we'd get there. And now, why are you here, ladies?
So we're here to talk about our children's cookbook, which is called My Little Sous Chef. And it's a tandem cookbook, which means that we are making two books that are coming together with the same recipes. And there's a book for the adults, and there's a twin cookbook that's just for the kids and has just the simplest passages with all the illustrations, so the kids can cook along, feel important, independent, help out, and be the little sous chefs.
That's what you think you're here to talk about, actually. We just want to do jokes about Italians for about an hour, is that, don't we, Helen?
That's right. I want to know about pizza.
Yes. What is spaghetti? You've written this book, My Little Sous Chef, and as you say, it's in two parts. So why do you think parents and children need two cookbooks? Why can't they just use one and kind of work together?
Because we thought it was very nice to have one book just for the kids so that the kid can feel independent and be, you know, like, stress their role as, like, the little helper in the kitchen. And also it's good, like, to give, I think, suggestions for, like, the parents to what the kids can do. Because maybe, like, you're doing a recipe and you get, like, very busy, like, trying to prep everything and then the child is just there, like, playing with the flour and it's not
there.
Head of the microwave again. Damn it!
You say playing with the flour as if that's a very jolly thing. It's usually more like throwing it in your face.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why you're like, no, see, you have to do this. There's an illustration.
Ah, so it's giving the child jobs to keep them occupied, which is basically all parenting is, guys, right?
That's
it. You've nailed it.
And I think it would appeal to both the messy mother, i.e. myself, and the anal mother, let's say Ellie, because she likes a neat cookbook. She doesn't like a splash.
Oh, no, I don't mind. I would say that is one of my exceptions to my many rules. I'm going to use the word palimpsest. I'm just going to do it. I like the idea that cookbooks are palimpsest, and I like turning the pages and seeing little stains and notes and draw. I scribble all over my cookbooks. They're the only books in my house I write in.
I'm so glad Steve Hill is not here to talk about sticky pages.
Yeah. I mean, I do like a cookbook, don't get me wrong. But yeah, no, I don't know. You're the expert. You've written a cookbook. Would you be offended if people spilled ketchup all over it?
There's no ketchup in the
really?
Book.
Really?
They make their own in Italy, don't they? They crush tins of tomatoes with their feet. So you're
so we are happy about that because that they're using that.
Yeah. So bring on the filth.
Yeah.
So what are the? You've got a variety of recipes, obviously, but have you each got a favourite recipe in the book?
Salame al cioccolato for me. Yeah. I love chocolate.
Oh.
So is that chocolate salami? Is that what you're saying?
Italian.
And I believe you brought one for us to try tonight.
Yes, we did.
It's not a euphemism.
You've also brought this delicacy. Would you talk us through this, Catherine? So
these are zucchini rolls.
Courgettes, love, we call it in this country. Courgettes.
We call them zucchinis in Australia.
In the book, they're called courgettes.
Oh, my God, of course they are, because that is proper English. So what is in a chocolate salami? How much salami do you need to make this?
So there's just a lot of chocolate, crushed biscuits inside, and
a lot
sugar and egg and butter. Yeah.
So it's like a rocky roll.
Am I slicing it right?
Yes, that's perfect. Yeah, exactly. So you slice it and you can see all the white bits in it, and so it resembles them.
Is that right? Do you want to try your own chocolate salami? Maybe you've seen it before. I don't know.
So in chocolate, this tastes a lot like, in Australia, we have a thing called hedgehog slice. Shut up, Ellie!
What is hedgehog slice?
Well, crushed biscuits, chocolate, icing sugar, butter, but it's flat.
Oh, I just love that they're like, yes, we bring you a salami al cioccolato. You know? Yeah, we make hedgehog slice. That's the same. It's the same, mate.
Religious cultural appropriation in Australia.
Why is this a good recipe for kids to make?
Because they can... Well, it's fun, the shape, in the end. And when you're like, oh, it's salame, or something similar. Or at least we hope so. I always thought it was fun. And then it's good because you just mash everything with your hands.
And let's be honest, I'm just going to say this, now we've all eaten some. Mm-hmm. It's because it looks a bit like poo, doesn't it? It does a bit. My eldest son is 5 and a half, and he thinks poo is the funniest thing in the world. Mm. And he's obsessed with it, and he talks about poo all day. He would think that was hilarious.
We should do a collaboration with them. Mm. And instead of calling it... salami cioccolato.
Yeah.
We could just call it giant chocolate poo.
That could be an idea.
My grandma would be really upset.
I don't know why little Italian ladies aren't ruling the world, because they take no shit. Absolutely take no shit. Helen Thorne speaks out on
absolutely
politics, but we won't go there. Don't mention the Brexit. Ruga. No Brexit here. Talking about food.
Yes. Now, you've also bought, I feel like we've done it sort of the wrong way around, but you've also brought these, what are these, Brexit rolls? What are they? Sorry.
It's gone very faulty towers. Yes.
These are the zucchini fritters.
Yeah, exactly. Rolls. They have cheese and ham in there. I'm going to eat one.
That is lovely.
I'm going to have another one. They're really nice.
They are delicious. I will say they do have a bit of green on, which my children would reject green food summarily. Is there a way around that?
Just take the skin off, I would.
Yeah. Just peel it off.
Bread. You're all right?
You didn't write a cookbook. I'm not asking you.
Oh, is there a bit of lemon in there? It's really nice.
So, kind of, what are your... What should you do if your child is just... kind of not interested in cooking, they'd just rather do Lego or drawing or I don't know, smash all the plaster off your walls with their bare hands, something like that.
Well, we think that, like, if your child is not interested in cooking, don't force it, because it's just because if you force them, then it's going to become a chore for them, and they're going to just get bitter about it, and then, you know, in the future they will be the traumatized kids who just eat ramen and stuff like that, and you don't want that in the end.
What do you do? Because I really love cooking, mainly on my own, but no, I do, I like cooking with my kids, but I think we've all done this, there's been a day where you go, yes, today we should make mince pies or whatever, and it starts off really well, and like, you put the little apron on, you wash the hands, and it's all lovely, and 8 minutes later you just want to smash the kitchen to bits and burn it down in a fire, like, because there's flour everywhere, and the child is trying to grab the knife, and the food processor's going off, and like, it's just a disaster. What do you do in that situation?
Remove the children. If it's getting that bad, remove the children just from the situation. Yeah. Or run away with the cooking wine, because that may be another option.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think like the best like strategy would be to like contain the damage from the beginning. So of course approach the whole deal with a lot of patience. Like it's gonna get messy. There's kids involved, so that was gonna happen. And factor in a lot of time. Because, I mean, yeah, exactly. The kids are going to try to grab everything and flowers going everywhere. So it's not going to be exactly that quick.
I know one of the things that I always wanted to do with my kids was make a gingerbread house.
Oh, yeah.
But every time, every time, we just go insane because we've we'll make the gingerbread and that's fine. But when it comes to decorating, the hands are in the icing, they've eaten all the sweets before, it's decorated, I'm having a nervous breakdown because all the walls are caving in. I mean, in the end, it's fine, but I think the levels of stress get, you know, very, very high.
Yeah.
I think you've got it right, actually, Helen, because I love when you do things like you see a thing on Pinterest and then you do it with the kids and then you put the Pinterest picture and your picture on the Scummy Mummy's Facebook, and you did like a BB-8 like Star Wars cake, and it was one of our most ever liked pictures. But and it didn't, you know, it was obviously BB-8, but it was like BB-8 after he'd been run over and like put in a microwave and like beaten up by some vigilantes.
But
it sort of, it didn't matter because it was hilarious, and you could tell looking at that cake, A, what it was supposed to be, which is fine, but B, that you'd had a really, more importantly, your kids had had a really good time making it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the point,
We adored that cake. Far too much icing on, but we were so proud of it, and that was going to be my son's birthday cake. It was so fun. We tried to make a Lego brick cake too, but in the end, we all agreed it just looked like poo. A big brown Lego.
Do you think you made an error of account? When was the last time you saw a brown Lego brick?
I know. So yeah,
and equally, as we've said before, that's not to put down the people who can make the perfect BB-8 cake. Like I think that's an amazing skill. I wish I had it, but I just don't. Just not in me.
That's
so,
what Sainsbury's for.
Yes.
For perfect cakes.
So where is your book available? Where can people buy it?
So at the moment the book is not available for sale, but it will be online, I mean, as an ebook.
Okay.
In a couple of weeks, we're publishing it on Amazon. At the moment, the paper one, it's not for sale because we are looking for a publisher.
Okay.
So that's the story of my little chef. Fingers crossed.
Well, good luck.
Excellent.
Ladies. Right, book chat. Done.
Done. Done. Well done.
What have we got next, Helen?
We've got Italy chat.
Excellent. My favourite kind of chat.
Hey, Chatto. Chatto Italiano. Hey, Chatto.
Oh, my God.
That works.
Was it Joe? What's the matter to you?
Hey!
Have you literally got no respect for our foreign guests?
Shut up in your face. Very nice. All right.
Excellent stuff.
We're going on a trip to Italy via our ears.
Oh.
Yes, it's an audio vacation.
Great. I feel like you didn't know where that was going to end up.
No one did.
You three are from the north of Italy.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, from Milano and Bergamo.
Okay.
So, yeah, north.
I've heard of one of those. That's nice. What have you noticed about the difference between Italy and England? I guess specifically in terms of, is there a different attitude to raising children here?
Yes. Yeah.
Tentative. Yes. Don't worry, no one.
Go on, Francesca. Just let it out.
You people.
I think just Italian people are super loud,
right?
So they just scream at the kids every time. Don't do that. Hey, be careful.
They do it in English. That's weird.
Smettila, non farlo.
There we go. We're trying to be culturally diverse.
We have listeners in Italy, so you know, ciao.
Yeah. But I mean, there's definitely a lot of screaming at kids in this country. God knows I've done some. But there's also a culture of, a growing culture of trying to be like, all right, darling, please don't
you are really
piss
pleased.
All over the floor, darling.
Don't worry,
is that not fine. A thing in Italy then?
No.
It's just like,
don't do that.
Excellent.
Or then at the end, like, you grab the kid for the ear and you're just like, no, why are you lying on the floor? And like,
that was in the
up.
Past, not now. Come on.
Hopefully not now. That's true.
Tell us, how is it now, Laura? Tell us.
It's normal. It's not like that violent. I had a really nice childhood. I don't know you guys.
The traumatized one.
Men.
Now, you're all women. I remember one of the things, because I've traveled in Italy. I was there for 3 months working. And when I saw families out, I saw, and it may have just been where I was, that the boys, the little boys got treated a little bit, they got away with a lot more than the girls.
Yeah. Really?
And I remember seeing at a table, there was a little boy throwing forks off the table.
Oh, wow.
And the women were going, "Oh, Alessandro, Alessandro." And the little girl did it, and they're like, "No, no." Did you witness that? That like little boys got away with a little bit more because they were boys, or?
Not really, actually. I mean, like,
maybe it was that family was
fucked. You know what? Maybe for the first one is different.
Mm. It was like that for me. My brother is younger, and he is a little prince, so he can basically do whatever
he wants. I'm a princess as well, actually. My family.
Maybe I'm the youngest one.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of the youngest one.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. I think there's this image we have in Britain of this Italian mama who's like every day like making her own pasta with the machine and preparing all the children's meals from scratch, you know, milking the buffalo to get mozzarella.
I wish. I wish.
Is that true, or do you eat a lot of chicken nuggets?
I do love chicken nuggets.
Come on!
That's true. Kind of true. I mean,
really?
Half. Mom try to cook everything from scratch, even if it's a salad or fruit or just a ham sandwiches. And then, you can start having like frozen food when you are a bit older, like 15 years old.
Yeah. I know, but let me get this straight. Because I've spent a bit of time in Italy, so you can't have frozen food till you're older, but you can have fucking wine when you're four.
Yeah.
From what I gather.
Yeah, of course, that's a rule.
You can start drinking after school.
Yeah, it's just grapes.
It's just grapes.
That's
you.
True.
It's just grapes.
So fun, the Italians.
I'm going to say that to the police next time I'm pulled over for drink driving.
It's just grapes.
It's just grapes and hops
vitamins.
And vodka. That's all it is. Why? And what's the stigma with frozen food then? Why is that a thing?
I think it's just because like they were not, our parents themselves were not used to see them, so they would see like these things coming out in little blocks of ice in bags, and you know, they're just like, that's not food. My grandmother would be like that.
Nonna.
You know, they think maybe it's not healthy, which it's kind of not. But sometimes that's a treat, or when it was, you know, you need like a quick meal. I mean, it's
we
not
do
like,
as well in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like it's completely banned. It's more like we'd rather cook from scratch.
What did you think of British food? Be honest, ladies. Be honest. When you first came to the UK...
I mean, the expectations weren't super high.
Okay.
We must say. I mean, the British food fame, it's not the best. So.
You say you don't like Marmite? You say you don't like Marmite?
Oh my God, Marmite.
No, sorry. Say what you mean. Say what you feel.
Don't intimidate them.
I like fish and chips. Fish and chips is yummy.
That's the one food you can think of.
Yeah. Oh, bacon, come on.
Bacon, come true. On. Like English breakfast.
The English breakfast.
We love English breakfast.
Good.
We make it at our place. Yeah.
English do the best bacon. You cannot get better anywhere
true.
Else.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. You know, 2,000 years of architecture, culture.
You got the bacon.
Play, you know, literature.
Your pigs are nice.
Yeah. We can do cured pork. Amazing.
Salty pork. Excellent.
What about you two? Be honest. What's your opinion of British food?
Oh, it's nice that you can eat a lot of different...
Don't patronise me.
She likes the sushi.
It's nice that we can eat a lot of different cuisines. What she means is it's nice that there's an Indian and a Chinese takeaway on every corner.
Yeah.
So you don't have to eat British food. No, that's where she's going.
That's a point though, because when I lived in Venice, it was very monocultural.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't, you know, you very rarely found a Chinese or a Japanese thing. I mean, granted, your food is amazing, so you don't need anything else. But I remember I was just craving things like curry paste and coconut milk and things like that. Because growing up in Australia and living in London half and half of my life, you just expect when you go to the supermarket to see soy sauce or all those things. And all the things I go to, I was like, I don't want 27 different shapes of pasta. I want some curry, you know. But London, you can eat Peruvian guinea pig one night, and you can eat, you know, Australian burgers the next. You can.
What's an Australian burger?
It contains pineapple and beetroot.
No way.
Oh. You're welcome, your taste buds.
Yet another wonderful cultural contribution. Thank you, Australia.
Pineapple.
Sorry. Now, can we talk
the
about
pineapple?
Can we talk about pineapple?
Don't shush the guests. Jesus. I know they're younger than us, but there's no need to patronise them.
Pineapple chat. Have you ever had pineapple on pizza?
No.
Illegal. I'm with you. It should be illegal. It should be illegal. This is why we shouldn't leave the EU. These are the kind of laws that we need. We need these laws. Sorry, I know we said we won't mention Brexit. Sorry, I've ruined it.
That's the same attitude I got in Dulwich Pizza Express. When I said, oh, do you do in a Hawaiian? And they're like, no!
Yeah.
No pineapple!
Because we're not savages! So, no! What do you mean? There's 1,000 pizzas on Pizza Express menu. Why can't you just have one of those? Why do you have to be difficult?
I'm not! This is the whole thing. It's like when I ask for a coffee, not too hot.
Oh.
Ellie gets very angry with me.
I get, because it's giving the person more work to do to cool it down. Just hold it until it's cool to the right temperature. That's not the British way. The British way is you put up with shit you don't want to save the other person effort. What's the Italian way, ladies? What do you do if your coffee's too hot?
Yeah, for another one.
Oh, come on.
Straight away.
Just now.
Yeah. It's too hot.
Like that. Yeah. In that tone of voice, but Italian.
È troppo caldo.
Oh, there we are. Oh, gosh, suddenly it's like being an Italian.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
In EastEnders, I love it. Now, serious Italian food question. Do we really need to make our own pasta? Come on.
No. There's no need for that.
We are agree.
Homemade gnocchi is much nicer than
I had a friend, a housemate at university, spent a whole day making her own gnocchi. They came out very beautiful and neat, and then we ate some, and she's like, it just tastes like mashed potato. And I was like, mate, it's mashed potato.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think? You think your hands would imbue it with the flavour of angels? Okay, here's the next one. What's the secret to a great spaghetti bolognese?
Ooh. Now, bearing in mind, this is the national dish in Australia. Really? The number one
How do you
dish.
Do that, actually?
Yeah. Onions, carrot, celery, chop, 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 chop.
Okay. Thumbs up from Francesca. Good start.
I also like a bit of cubed pancetta, you know. You asked, I'll finish.
Go on. Then I'll get a tin of pineapple chunks. And a piece of hedgehog.
What's it called?
Hedgehog slice.
Right, so bacon, and then brown the meat, and then the tomato puree, tin of tomatoes.
Yeah.
Italian herbs.
Italian herbs.
Amazing.
And a little bit of wine and a lot of salt. Job done.
What is she doing wrong? Oh, how long?
How long are you cooking the sauce for?
Oh, an hour, surely.
I'm thinking without the
bacon.
The bacon.
Right.
And leave cooking.
The Italian
herbs
as well. Which one?
Oh, like oregano. And
like it literally comes in a packet.
It's called Italian herbs.
No way.
Yes. Okay. So go.
All right,
okay.
Katrina, go.
So the whole onion, celery, carrot, chop, 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 fry a little bit.
In a bit of lard, something like that?
No.
Mozzarella.
Like oil, like olive oil.
Olive oil, okay.
Extra virgin olive oil.
Extra virgin.
Yeah. I heard you shouldn't use extra virgin for frying because it's a higher temperature or a lower temperature for burning or something, so you should use non-extra virgin olive oil.
Ellie,
you look at me like I'm talking out my arse.
Our grandmother agree with that.
That's a drama.
Nonna will not agree, I think.
All right, I'm sticking with Nonna.
Okay,
forget I said anything. Carry on. Carry on.
Let the Italians speak.
Yes, yes.
Okay, then skip the pancetta or...
Yeah.
All right.
Lorraine Pascal put sausage meat in hers. Mm-hmm. Is that what...
You're still butting in.
We're having a discussion. We're being Italian.
I think someone about food. Does it. Like they put some pork somewhere in central
Italy.
But yeah, the main part is the whole beef mince. Yeah, so you brown the meat. And then...
By Naples, actually, they put like ham, something different. So
That's Naples, isn't it?
That's just for the north.
Yeah.
That's Naples. Nobody trusts Naples. Nap off, Napoli.
Right. So then you put the tomato sauce in there. Red wine before, actually. And then you put the sauce, like the tomato
and
sauce.
Pepper, salt. And a bit of sugar, maybe.
Do you have a preferred brand?
I do.
Oh, now.
It's an Italian one.
Of course it is.
Cheerio.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen it in the shop.
That?
Yeah, super good. It's one of my favourite cereals. So you put the Cheerios in. This is Britain. If you don't have any wine, can you use lager?
No.
Without. Nice.
They're going to be physically sick.
It's white wine, not red wine.
And then you leave on the hob for 4 hours.
Four hours. I'm gonna put this to you. Nigel Slater, in his book The Kitchen Diaries, has a recipe for a great spaghetti bolognese, and it does require cooking very long, as you say, all of that jazz. Towards the end, though, he puts in a bit of whole milk or cream. What do you think about that? Yeah. Heads are shaking. Nil point. Italy says, fuck off, and Nigel.
No way. Unbelievable.
You know nothing, Nigel. Nothing.
Excellent. I tell you what, Helen, while we're in the middle of all this lovely food chat, I tell you what I like to put in my mouth. It's wine.
Excellent. Do you know what's in my mouth, Ellie?
What's that?
I Heart Wines wine.
Oh.
The Pinot Grigio is very nice. So I'd like to say thank you, I Heart Wines.
Cheers,
thank
I Heart Wines.
Thank
Cheers.
You for sending it to us.
Yes, thank you, iheartwines.co.uk, for supplying the wine for this podcast. As approved by 3 Italians. Can we say that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah,
yes,
we're happy.
Really,
yes,
thank
really,
you.
Really nice.
We're not giving you any money. No, fine. Right, good. Now, back to the food chat, okay. Being Italians, you must have eaten a lot of pizza. Yeah. I'm guessing you're not gluten intolerant.
No. And I like cheese.
You don't what? Like cheese? Why don't you like cheese?
Don't know.
It's like saying you don't like oxygen. It's just... So you don't like pizza, Larry? You don't like pizza?
I like pizza without cheese.
What is that? That, my friend, is focaccia. Ketchup on toast.
Focaccia. No, focaccia. You know focaccia.
I know focaccia, or focaccia, as my friend in Italian is
right back at you.
What are some of your favourite, like, Italian mispronunciations? Like Ellie's granny?
My grandma calls it pizza. Would you like a pizza or chili con carne?
Yeah.
But she is 99, so she can call it whatever the fuck she wants, really, these days.
And lasagna has been pronounced probably every different way you can. Lasagne.
Lasagne. Yeah.
No. How do you say it properly?
Lasagne.
Bolognese or bolognese or
bolognese.
Bolognese.
Yeah. Like when you listen to someone saying something backwards on a tape, it's really weird. Bolognese. Yeah. I feel like I'm in Twin Peaks or something. So I like this theory that really great food is not just about the food, but where you eat it and who you eat it with, and you know how much cheese there is on it.
So. Not for me.
Nor for Laura. But as we've discussed, Laura's a freak. When and where was the best pizza you ever had?
Okay, best pizza is like in a place called Pizza OK.
Okay.
Sounds promising.
The cheesiest name ever.
Not great, just okay.
Yeah. I like the honesty. Me and Pete, we used to buy pizza in a place in Macclesfield that was so terrible. I can't remember what it was called because we always called it Pizza Shit. So Pizza OK, what's so great about Pizza OK?
It was just good, like a very thin, I like thin pizza. There's a lot of cheese in it, so that's...
Excellent.
That's a plus for me. And it's near my house, I mean, perfect. My mom's house, so like you walk there, you go with your friends, so like thing, and it's cheap. Like,
book us the flight, Thorn. We're going to Pizza OK.
Destination, all right.
Francesca?
In the south, as my dad is from the south. So yeah, they do this wonderful folded pizza. I'm a fan of folded pizza.
Like a calzone. See? Calzone. We've got the lingo now.
Yeah, we have a lingo. Stop shouting at them.
At least I'm not telling them to shush.
Please, don't be afraid to shout. We are Italian. You can shout.
They love it. They love it. Watch this. Watch this now.
Fuck off.
Yeah. She loves it. Look at her face. Look at her face. She loves it. Aww. They all do. Sorry. Anyway.
You're talking about
this calzone. Lot of cheese inside. I love cheese, and then
I've got a lot of cheese inside.
you're like a human calzone.
That's my next Edinburgh show.
That's your next Edinburgh show. Done. You are welcome. Ladies, they may be the best pizzas you've eaten in your life so far, but we have a special treat for you here tonight on the Scummy Mummies, because it's time now for the Scummy Mummies pizza test. This is our pizza delivery boy. I'm married to him. Pizza. That's right. Pete. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Very well.
Oh, great. I thought you were going to do an amusing Italian accent. You abandoned that.
I just thought it would be racist, and I thought I would leave that to you and Helen.
So, Pete has brought us three delicious artisanal pizzas. And we're going to do a little pizza taste test. Now, Laura, I know you don't like cheese. If you don't want to join in, that's fine, but we will judge you.
Miserable Laura.
Pizza one, here we go.
Mmm.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Mmm.
Italians, what do you think?
Oh.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not good though, is it, mate?
The dough is bad.
Gummy.
Score out of 10.
Four.
Six.
Six?
Generous, come on.
You're not even eating it. It's not your business.
I worked for a few years in a pizzeria anyway.
Okay, so you're an expert now, perfect.
Yes. Of dough. No, it's fine, it's okay. Maybe
okay.
Five, come on.
It's five, fine. Yeah, it's a five.
They've been
five.
In Britain a few years. They know that it's fine is British for that is the worst fucking piece of shit I've ever encountered.
Exactly.
Pizza number two. Better, I think.
I think so.
Got a better base and a better cheese. This can get a 6.5, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And the final pizza. Pizza three. Now,
this is like
a smaller format, this pizza. It's like smaller than a 7-inch single.
That mini pepperoni?
You tell me. You're the expert.
Oh, that's been cooked in a nice way.
Don't be polite.
That's not polite. I'm polite and Italian.
Of course. Sorry. Be yourself.
I'd give that a 4.
I'd give that a... wide berth. Two, I think.
Oh. Yeah.
The meaty, peppery one wins, and that is, of course, the sloppy Giuseppe.
That's it. From the Pizza Express.
From Pizza Express. You've won Pizza Express.
Congratulations. Second place, I think, was the first one we tried, which was the Sainsbury's Pizza Generico, I believe is the Italian term.
And last was Chicago Town.
Yes.
In the microwave.
Microwave pizza. Welcome to Britain, ladies. Welcome to Britain. Well, there we are. That's the Scummy Mummies pizza test. Sadly, the more expensive one is best. How disappointing.
Right.
All right. Wow. It's time now, I think, for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, Helen. Ooh,
yes. Yes. Should I kick off?
Please do.
My lovely, lovely sister-in-law is pregnant. And we're very happy, but my two children are curious, of course, about how it happened. They're a bit older, so we decided, because we're British, to buy a book and just point at some pictures rather than actually explain.
Not like a proper, like just like the Argos catalogue, just to distract them. Just look at these blenders.
So it was good, and it's very honest and upfront. But what was very sweet was that we were Skyping with it was my sister-in-law and her partner, and my parents-in-law at dinner. And then my child read out and said, and then millions of sperm. And then she was like, the Philippine tubes. And she's like, and that's how you get pregnant. And we're like, but anyway, it was educational as well.
Are Italian mummies scummy?
They can be. Yeah. So my mom was making pesto in the kitchen. She was pregnant at the time. And the window was open and a pigeon got in the kitchen somehow. And the pigeon pooped on the kitchen counter or something. And my mom she didn't realize that there was a pigeon in the kitchen. She just saw a little splat of something on the kitchen counter and she thought it was pesto splattering outside of the thing of the kitchen. See? So she just picked it up with her finger and licked it.
Italian task, Gary!
Thing. And she called the pediatrician, like the doctor, because she was pregnant. So she was like, is that going to be good for the baby?
And that's why you are like you are.
I know! Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that is a wonderful story to end with. Don't you, Helen?
So, absolutely. Now, do obviously download your book.
Yeah, so it's My Little Sous Chef. People search for it on Amazon, they can find it.
Yeah.
Speaking of books, Helen.
Yeah, speaking of books, Ellie, we've got a book coming up, haven't we?
Have we?
Yes, it's called Scummy Mummies.
That's right. And it's out on the 9th of March, and you can also pre-order it from Amazon.
$7.99 in the UK, and it will be launched in Australia on the 1st of April for $14.99 Australian dollars, which is about £2. And I will be in Australia in April at the Melbourne Comedy Festival doing a solo show. So come along, because Ellie doesn't like going to Australia.
No. Too far. Too racist. Yay. And thank you so much to all our... We had lots of lovely emails recently, actually, saying
we want to do a big shout-out to a woman called Catherine from Hove.
Yes. Catherine from Hove.
You are wonderful. She sent us an email, and I must say, most emails we get make me cry, but this particular email made me cry. So thank you, Catherine. And should we just say hello to Bromley Clark's woman? Just for
why
the
not?
Of it.
Fuck it. or what would you say at this time of day in Italian?
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Arrivederci. Bromley Clark's a woman. Is that right?
Nope.
You don't like cheese. I'm not listening to a word you say. You're not authentico. Right. Yes. Please keep liking us on the Facebook and the Twitter and Instagram. We're at Scummy Mummies. Thank you so much, Caterina, Francesca and Laura from My Little Sous Chef. You've been hilarious and Italian. Two of my favourite things. And loud, which is perfect. Have you enjoyed the podcast?
Yeah.
Chef, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye!
Ciao!
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 Ciao. There we go. Oh, they get carried away now. It's always the way. Hot-tempered, you see.
Can I leave then?
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah. Can you just take?
Just make sure everyone's glass is topped up, and then you can go.
Yeah, all right.
You can take the chocolate salami if you want.
It is honestly delicious.
That is incredible.
It's been a while since someone said that to him.
Normally doesn't ask.
It's not been that long.
Yeah, as I say, leave when you like.
I know you're not going to use this.
Thank you.
Do you want me to take any of this away?
All of it. I don't want that. I mean, I'm assuming you ate before you came because you knew you were coming to a British person's house.
So. No, we don't actually.
Oh, you didn't eat? Oh, God.
We ate later.
Of course.
They just smoked. Yes. So the European are the people that smoke and eat late in the
Movida. Yeah.
And then they die at 45. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I'm touching wood.
I love these people. Great.
Why are we living in England anyway?
Why? Because we don't smoke enough.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.